We're going to do things a little bit different today. What we're going to do is we actually have, we had six different storytellers throughout the week who told the story of Joseph to different groups. And we're going to have them on stage here in just a moment. And I'm going to be interviewing them, talking through kind of what they learned, what was their favorite parts and different questions. And that's going to be a lot of fun. So I'm going to actually go ahead and ask them to come on up on stage. But I'm also going to invite my friend Howard Locke and his family to come forward. You probably saw Howard. I know at some point I saw Howard's head in the video because he was shuttling food to the tables at some, throughout the week. And so the cool thing, Howard has been attending our church now for some time and is ready to make official his covenant with our church. And so he's going to be joining the church today, and that's exciting. So y'all go ahead and get excited about that. So we've already kind of talked about what that looks like. And so the first question that I ask, you know, we call this church membership, but it's far more a covenant than it is a contract. And so we want a covenant with you. And so our question is, do you trust Jesus with everything that you have?
Yes, sir.
And do you seek to live in faithful service to Jesus for all of your days? You're excited about, you're letting me finish the question. And do you want to partner with this church through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? And all the above. He's excited. If y'all would get that excited. No, I'm kidding. So we want to welcome you. I'm going to ask you all the question as I've asked him. And we do this every time someone else joins our fellowship, is we all renew our commitment to follow Jesus and to do it within the context of this local church. And so do you renew your commitment to follow Jesus with your whole life? Thank you for jumping in. It's a good one. Do you seek to follow Jesus? If you do, say, I do. And do you commit to this church through supporting and covenanting with one another through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If you will, say, we will.
We will.
Awesome. Howard's going to be hanging out in the lobby when this is all over with, and you can shake his hand, give him a big old hug. We love you. We appreciate you, and thanks for your service this week. This dude fed a lot of kids, along with the help of many others, but we're grateful for your service.
Had a lot of fun in the barrel monkeys.
Awesome, awesome. I think we might have had a few barrels of monkeys. So, and thank you guys for being here. Awesome, awesome. Well, you know, in my mind, as I have envisioned this, I was sitting over here, and so y'all are throwing me for a loop. No, I'm gonna sit over here. This will be all right. I have a microphone, so I'm gonna pass this off to somebody else. Y'all got one down there here, Glenda? There you go. Awesome, awesome. So this is what nightmares are made of, because I. Thank you for your patience. Is that really working? No? Did you smack it one good time? Wait, I think that might have did it. Did that do it? No? Nope. All right, here we go. Whoa. I really feel like we should pray at some point. I'm going to need some help. I've got notes. Just let that go.
I always tell you, if you're nervous on stage, I always tell people, like, everybody out here is rooting for you and wants you to do good, and they're not mad that your microphone
works. I just want my microphone to work. All right. So we are really actually going to pray and invite God's Spirit to lead us and to speak to us. So pray with me. God, we are grateful for your Spirit that is among us, for the way that we can see your presence, not only in our own lives, but in those around us. So we're grateful for this church, for the work that you're doing in our midst, and for, God, for your faithful love for us. And so, Lord, as we take this moment now to reflect on what we've learned, what we've taught, and most of all, where you have been at work, God, I pray that you would be lifted high, that your name would be made known, and that we would discover more about who you are, and that we might faithfully follow hard after you, Jesus. For we pray in your name. Amen. Okay, so the way this is going to work, each one of these persons sitting to my left represents a different classroom, so to speak.
for Vacation Bible School. And so each one of these persons taught every single night, five nights in a row, through the story of Joseph. So before me represents literally 30 sermons on Joseph, right? Six people, five nights, and you gave it two times a night. Is that right? 60 sermons. So we're going to compress that into about an hour and a half. And so it won't be a problem at all. And so in all seriousness, we've given these folks some questions. And first of all, I want to say thank you for your service. You know, it's exciting to know that our kids are learning about who God is, about the stories from the scripture, about who Jesus is, his grace. But to be able to see that divvied out among you and pouring that in, and I was able to sit in on a couple of your classrooms. It was awesome to see your passion and to see you get excited about the story. And so I want to ask you all some questions about your experience, not only as a teacher, but just as you plowed through the story of Joseph, what have you been learning? What has been revealed to you? So the first thing I want you to do is just to introduce yourself. And so tell us your name. Tell us your name and what grade or grades that you taught this week.
My name is Glenda Hull, and I had the privilege of teaching preschoolers.
Notice she said privilege.
The privilege, yes.
Yes, indeed. Awesome.
Thank you. You want to pass that to Kathy?
I'm Kathy Burns, and I was the herder of the ants on the Sugar Hill, and I also taught the preschoolers.
Awesome.
I'm Emily Barlow, and I was in one of the third through fifth grade classrooms.
I'm Melissa Walker, and I was Emily's counterpart in the other classroom of third, fourth, and fifth graders.
I'm Adam Wood, and I was able to teach kindergarten through second grade.
And I'm Mary Woodruff, and I was Adam's partner, and I did the other set of kindergarten through second graders.
So a lot of fun was had by all, for sure. Here's a question I have for you, and I'd appreciate your honesty. Why did you volunteer to teach this Bible study at Vacation Bible School? What was the kind of the motive behind that? Or did you?
Well, I was approached by our wonderful Lori Cripple.
Woo! She's back there.
Thank you, Lori.
She should be up here with
me. She should be. I usually work in the kitchen. I'm good at washing dishes. I know what to do and how to stay out of everybody's way. Seriously, no. The kitchen is a lot of fun, but it is a lot of work. But I was approached by Lori Cripple and was asked would I care to teach a Bible story at Vacation Bible School for some of the children. What she didn't tell me was that it was going to be preschoolers. I said, well, she puts me in, well, junior, the older children. I said, that'll be fun. I'll know how to handle them. And then she told me it was preschoolers. And then I said, uh-oh. And what I learned is they're not scary. They're really not. I fell in love with them. Absolutely. And I would volunteer wholeheartedly to do it again.
Awesome.
Quite a few years ago, Lori approached me and asked me if I would teach Vacation Bible School preschoolers. And for your second grade student, you will do just about anything. And so I agreed. And because for the last 14 years, I have taught preschool children and am in awe of the wonder on their faces. And you just couldn't ask for a better experience to teach someone about Jesus. And those little sponges were soaking it up.
Awesome.
Thank you, Lori, for asking me.
I taught I wanted to teach Bible school. One reason, selfishly, like I wanted to be in a room with my own kids to get to teach them a Bible story, to see my own kids. But also, like, I am really excited about seeing all kids have a good church experience, like making church fun and making it a place where kids can have a great memory and want to come back to later. So that's another reason why I want to do VBS, is so that all kids would have a really great fun experience and want to come back later.
Well, my response is not so good. It's just my skill set. I have told stories for 37 years in a U.S. history classroom. I figured this was the next logical place for me to move, and it was glorious, of course.
I just think it's exciting anytime you get the opportunity to convey truth from God's word to kids and get to tell them about Jesus. I mean, that's what it's all about, and that's exciting to me.
Sure.
I must say, too, that it's kind of part of my skill set, and I've taught in the classroom for 24 years, and a lot of that in reading, so that involves a lot of stories, and so who wouldn't want to tell stories about Jesus, because they're my favorite stories of all.
Sure. Very good. I'm going to rain on the parade. Thank y'all for clapping, and we'll let you clap at the end. We're going to move through this quickly. How about that? Is that the rude host? Here, and we don't even have to go down the row, like, because some of you may want to answer some of these questions, some of you may, you know, not care too much, but like, what is your favorite part of the Joseph story? So you guys, they taught through Joseph in five easy installments. What stands out the most? Like, what's your favorite part? Anybody?
I'll go.
Go. Thank you.
Okay. My favorite part of the Joseph story is the end, is the reconciliation at the end, because all this horrific stuff happens, and there's every reason for all of them to hate one another, and at the end, it's grace and reconciliation, and in the words of one of my students, who, no matter what I asked, she always said kindness. Kindness, yes, that's kindness. Kindness is the answer to that question, too. And I think she was right. Just the grace and the reconciliation at the end.
A lot of times children don't find a way to relate to Bible stories. But this story allows them to relate, because most of them have brothers and sisters or cousins that they argue with or may not be feeling kindly towards at one time or another. And this story allowed these children to see that if they thought of Joseph as, I kind of treated him like a very young person, so they would relate to it. And so teaching them that we can't always get angry when people do things to us that hurt us, that we do have to show a grace and not revenge. And in today's world, with all the bullying and the cyberbullying and all the things that are going on, this is a really tough lesson for kids. And I think that if we start with that three-year-old mind and plant that seed that everyone is good and we have to forgive, or at least not show severe revenge when you're angry with them, I think that that seed is important.
Yeah, and I think, too, especially in our... It's amazing to me that a story that is that ancient still has truth for today. It's powerful. Anybody else? Favorite part of the story?
I was going to kind of say, like, I kind of had, like, a personal experience with the story. And I kind of thought about Joseph's brothers and how, like, all of these years they, like, carried this tremendous guilt. And they, even at the end, after Jacob had died, like, they're still unsure of this mercy and love that Joseph is offering them. And I kind of thought, for me, you know, like, that's already given to us. Like, we don't have to spend all of those years and have all of that burden in our heart, because God's grace is already offered to us. Like, who would not buy into that? You know, and so I hope, I really had a good time with the ending of the story and then how we tied it in to the story of Jesus and his grace. And I hope that the kids... you know, take that with them as well as I did.
Sure. I love this everything about the story. And I feel like we could do this series next summer, do Joseph again, and come up with like 10 different sermons from what we've done this time. Like, there's so many pieces of it. But one of my favorite parts of the story is that Joseph, when he's successful and he's the second in command of all of Egypt, like, he gained those skills not by leading Egypt. He learned all those skills when he was in prison and when he was leading the prison. And so when he was in prison, like, being the administrator there, it wasn't that he just got all that knowledge there. Like, he learned that when he was managing Potiphar's house way back when he started out. And the story begins, he's 17, so he's a fairly young person. And I think that's really cool to convey to kids, is like, it's not someday in the future that you'll learn all this stuff and that you might be in a great position, but it's things that you've learned all the along the way through your life, even in some really dark places, that God uses later to do some really big things.
Sure. Anybody else? Here's another question, more personal, but what stands out as a lasting impression from the week? Maybe like an encounter you had with someone. What moment from the week stands out to you the most? Did you have an encounter with a student? Was there something that just, or as part of the story, something that just you can't get over?
Well, like Sunday night, whenever we were through with the story, the children all just went out, single file, out the door. Monday night, it was hugs. It was hugs. Thursday night, it was crying because they had to leave me. And it's just, they planted a seed in me. Sure. I ended up being the student. It's such a clarity. They have such a clarity in their love. And they're so pure and they're so innocent. And sometimes very rambunctious. But that's okay. I mean, that's okay. That's just to be expected. But when it was all over, said, and done, I absolutely fell in love with these children. And I would be honored to teach them other lessons about the Bible because they absorbed it like a sponge, like I believe Kathy said. They absorbed it like a sponge. And the one thing that you can ask them right now is the main thing that we learned and that I wanted them to take with them is that God is always with us. And that was something that they truly understood. And so that from... can't wait to get out and do the discovery and the little experiments and no hugs to crying. And it touched me in ways that I just cannot fully explain.
It pays to volunteer.
So my memory is not exactly so serious. It's a little bit more on the comical side, but I'll always remember this. So in our class, we're reenacting the story of Jesus because I want the kids to get involved, to try to remember it, do it different ways, not just me talking the whole time. And so we're acting it out. We're at the part in the story where Joseph has had his, I'm sorry, that Pharaoh's had his dreams and Joseph's going to interpret the dream. So they've already done the first little bit, and I had told a few kids, I said, all right, now you're going to pretend you're the skinny cows that are going to come out and eat the fat cow. And so I'm standing up here at the top of the choir room, and they're kind of down there below, and then these three kids start climbing up, and a couple of them start pretending to eat the air, but then one kid goes up to my leg and starts pretending to eat my leg. And all you could do is just laugh, I guess. But it was fun. It was fun.
They got it. They probably won't forget either.
Exactly.
Anybody else have a moment that just stands out before we move?
In all my 47 years of teaching, I've learned that children take everything literally, no matter what age they are. And so in telling the story, I'm like you, this is a funny thing. I'll always remember. When we talked about the three choices that the brothers had decided on, you know, what are we going to do with him? And so when we got to choice number three, I said, so the third choice they made was, let's sell him to those people over there. Now, I don't think children have to know who they were, where they came from, what their job did, all that. They were just going to sell him to those people over there. And every night when I got to choice number three, there were a couple of kids in both of my groups. And they said, they turned around literally and said, sell him to those people over there. exactly where I pointed every night that I did it. And so understand that when you are teaching your children about Jesus and the Bible and the stories, that they take every word literally. Not slave traders, not, you know, men with camels or any of that, but sell him to those people over there.
That's awesome.
So remember, literal understanding.
That's awesome. Anybody else before I go to the next question? All right, here we go. So this one is even perhaps more personal. But what, in fact, it could be said that sometimes we learn best when we teach other people. And so what did you learn personally that may have changed your life? What did you see through the story that impacted you in a personal way as you were preparing and even as you delivered the story of Joseph?
I think for me, having read this story a few times, getting ready to teach it and then rereading it, there was little details that stuck out differently. And there was one detail that I couldn't get past where Joseph's in prison and he is coming in to see the cupbearer and the baker. And in the story in Genesis, it tells us that the cupbearer and the baker had a dream on the same night. And the next morning when Joseph comes in to see them, he notices that they look dejected or that they looked upset. And I kept thinking, these guys are like in a dungeon. Like, when would they ever not upset or dejected? Like, surely they were that way every day. And it says that Joseph sees them and recognizes that I guess they were even more upset or more dejected this particular morning. And so he asks them, "Why are you so sad today?" And for me, like, that detail just kept sticking out because I think it showed that Joseph was a lot of really great things, but he also, like, recognized in other people, like he had this compassion or this sense about other people, and his decision to ask them that question, like, "Why are you so upset today?" is a huge turning point in the story, because if he sees these guys and he doesn't recognize that they're sad and then do something about it, like, they're just still sitting there in jail, and then, you know, the story would have to have taken some sort of different turn along the way somewhere, or they just would have stayed there. But it was his asking that question. And so for me, it made me think about, like, how many faces we see every single day, and do I recognize in somebody else, like, when they might be upset or might be troubled, and what could I do to ask a question that might change their lives or my life, or in Joseph's case, changed a lot of lives, you know, but one single question could do that.
I was going to say, too, that, like, poor Joseph, I mean, just, like, a lot of awful stuff, like, happened to him. And a lot of times, like, in our own lives, like, we parallel that, you know, and bad things happen to us, and we don't understand, or we have a hard time working through that. And I think Joseph never lost that, like, he never lost that trust. And he, you know, he kept working through it and being compassionate through all of that. And at the very end, you know, when he's trying to tell his brothers, you know, and he's trying to explain, you know, like, how he's going to forgive them. And he says to them, "What you did was bad," because it was. He says, "But what God did with it was good." You know, and I think a lot of times, you know, like, we forget that as we're going through the bad times. And that, you know, like, it part of it is the experience and allowing God to work through that. And so that really spoke to me.
And one of the things that I thought about in this story was that how the brothers must have felt when they had been forgiven, how they must have felt, and the release, and how great it was to know that even though you committed this terrible sin against your own brother, there is restoration in the unit of the family. And so I can't help but think, and me being a sinner that I am, how grateful I am that God has forgiven me. I thought about how they felt, how the brothers felt. Because, like what Pastor John said today, and it's like, we are the brothers. And so I thought a lot about that this week.
One thing that bothered me the whole week, because I watch children with parents every day, is that Jacob created the monster. He showed that favoritism to one son, and there was a purpose behind it. But still, I think about parents today with more than one child or more than one grandchild, and it is so hard to keep that equal when you shower gifts or affections or time or energy. It's very difficult to do it equally to all of your children, all of your grandchildren. And my two grandchildren, girl, boy, are constantly saying, who's your favorite, who's your favorite? Well, it's a joke, because you're my favorite grandson, you're my favorite granddaughter, so I'm out of that, I'm okay. But children, they want to know. And in Joseph's case, his father created the atmosphere of, you are my favorite, which created the discord with the brothers and Joseph. So just a word to you as parents and grandparents, just think about that the next time the child who is the neediest and wants all your time, there's another one that wants equal time. And in our busy lives, we sometimes forget that. And I see it every day with multiples. So just a little word about being careful not to show favoritism. It's going to be real hard, I know. But it is a serious problem, because we are so busy today. And I felt sorry for Jacob, because when it was all said and done and Joseph was gone, I often wondered, did he recognize what he had created?
Sure. Anybody else?
I'll jump in for just a moment, and I know we're running short on time, but
It's okay, I do this every week.
Oh, yeah. The big picture aspect of this story really strikes me, the fact that God is watching all these disparate pieces. There's Jacob being a very foolish father and unkind to his other sons. And there's Joseph, and frankly, he's kind of a punk sometimes. And you know, and slave trading is happening, and a famine is coming, and there's just all these pieces that ultimately come together for the good. And I love that scripture, that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And one of our nightly themes was, God made me on purpose for a purpose, that God had done that for Joseph. And we ultimately see, you know, what the end game was there, what the purpose was. But we conveyed that to the kids too, I think. And that was a really powerful night. When we spoke of what spiritual gifts our students had in the room, and a lot of them, you know, rose up and recognized immediately, especially my little girl, who was kind. Yes, she was kind. There was one kid in one of my groups that didn't want to recognize any spiritual gifts within himself. But by the end of the week, I think he had bought into that as well. And so, you know, the way God just weaves it all together,
sure,
all these bits and pieces and nightmares and mistakes that we create and can ultimately bring good out of that.
So, sure.
Really huge.
Give you guys one more opportunity to speak, when I'm going to kind of meld a bunch of questions together. But the question I have for you today, you've got a very captive audience, and I mean, they've done really good. What would you say to the people here today, in light of what you've learned about Joseph, in light of your time spent teaching? What would you say to someone, whether it be in the realm of, hey, I learned this from Joseph, I hope you get it, or in the realm of, hey, I volunteered and I fell in love with some preschoolers, like, you should do this. So what advice, what thoughts, what parting, you know, words would you give to either any of our adults here, or even the children that you got to hang out with this week? What would you say?
That wasn't in the
email. I know. I'm sorry.
The main thing that I would emphasize in this is that I really thought it was going to be a daunting task. It was such an awesome experience, that sometimes when you think things may be hard or difficult, you know, if you put God into it first, and just go and find that right path. He's going to show you things. Just like I told you earlier, the kids planted a seed in me, and it's growing. It's growing. And so there's no area of volunteering that you should be scared of. It's all awesome, you know. So
awesome.
Preschoolers, they rock.
Thank you.
I was just going to say that, you know, a little bit of serving or working with Vacation Bible School, you're going to be a little bit vulnerable. But, you know, in that vulnerability or in that uncomfortable moment, like, I mean, I can promise you you're going to gain so much more if you'll just kind of let it go and be willing to jump in.
I'll say this year was a little bit different for me. I felt like there were times where it was a little bit more chaotic, and I had to stop and trust God more. And I think that kind of fits into what we've been talking about in the story of Joseph. And one of the things I said was one of my favorite points was that you were created on purpose, for a purpose. And like, what a joy that was to look in the eyes of kids in that room and say, God's given you special ability that you need for something in your life that he's going to accomplish. And I have the privilege of getting to teach kids on Sunday morning, and we've been going through Gospel Project, and so we've been looking at it in a big sweeping picture. And we did Joseph a while back, but I just kept thinking, like, the story of Joseph fits in the bigger promise of what God's doing in the movement of his people, and he's promised Abraham that he's going to bless them and make them numerous, and he's going to bless the whole world through them. And then you have the story of Joseph, and right there, smack dab in the middle of it, if he doesn't orchestrate everything together, if he didn't have a purpose and a plan for Joseph, his family ultimately starves, and God's word isn't kept. And so I think it's a trust thing, that our God is so big and he has such a huge purpose and plan that his ways and his means, they're going to happen. He's going to do it. And our job, like Joseph, is to be faithful and obedient and trust him. And so whether it's when you're in a dungeon or whether it's, you know, in a palace or in a pit or wherever it might be, you can trust God. He has a plan. He's doing something. And he's going to be faithful to you. And in the same way for me, I'm not calling my classroom a dungeon this week, but there were times that I wondered what kids were absorbing.
Sure.
because it was chaotic, but it was amazing every night to come back, and somehow they were regurgitating what we talked about, even though it didn't seem like that in the moment. But those are seeds, and I think God gave us that opportunity to plant seeds, and I know this church is going to water those seeds, and I can't wait to see what God does through that long term.
Amen. Anybody else have any parting words?
Just one thing I wanted to find an opportunity to say somehow this morning, and that is how grateful I am to everyone here. At one point in the chaos, and they're feeding 175 kids, and there are people everywhere, and they've all got a smile, and they're doing what needs to be done. And I just thought, how phenomenal that so many people came together and found their role and made this happen for these kids to have five glorious nights where they learned about the love of God through the hands of people that showed them love.
Amen. Amen.
To my preschoolers that were in my group, I hope that you will always remember this. It means what? God is always with me. And that is the lesson I hope they take away from this. And to the parents in this group, get a copy of the devotional book that Lori gave all of us. You will get through this. And it was a great reflection on my current situation, my past situations, and it gave me much pause for thought. And every adult in this room needs to read it.
Yeah. Did you have anything you want?
It's okay.
All right, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Well, I think Joseph points to Jesus way before Jesus is on the scene. And
It was amazing. Just there's some little details along the way that are just kind of like, why is that there? That both Jesus and Joseph were sold for pieces of silver. And both of them, like, pretty much, you know, they were thought that they were dead and that we were never going to see them again. And then all of a sudden they come back. Joseph's brothers, when they sold him off, I think they thought we're never going to see this guy ever again in our life. And then they show up and there he is. And he gives them like the best gift he could possibly give them. And the same for Jesus. When Jesus died on the cross, everybody thought, that's the end. Like, we're never going to ever see Jesus again. And then he comes back and he gives the best gift that that anybody could ever need. And so for me, like, if I could say anything, it's like God is always with you and God is always good and God always chooses grace. And Jesus did come to save you. And that's something that you see early on when the Bible starts, is that God always chooses grace. He's always good. He's always with you. And Jesus has come to save you. And I don't know. I think it's just a cool story.
I like the story myself. Let me say once again how grateful I am, and I think I speak for Lori as well. I'm grateful for the time that you guys invested. Not only do you guys represent hours of teaching, you represent even more hours of preparation and prayers, and I am so incredibly grateful for that as a pastor. I hope you know you have planted some seeds, and you've planted them well, and we are grateful for that. And I also, on behalf of these guys, many other volunteers, parents, and kids, want to tell Miss Lori, we are so grateful for you and the work that you do week after week. Yeah, so you can stand up. It's okay. You can. We don't mind. Have fun recovering in Disney World. Anybody that wants to make, you know, gifts of gratitude, send Lori to Disney World. Hey, we've had so much fun this week. Kids, we're grateful for you. I'm going to invite you guys to come back on stage and our worship team to come and lead us in one final song. It's going to be a ton of fun. Thank you all for the work that you've done to make this week a very, very, very special one.